Brooks Koepka wins the PGA tournament. And to talk about it, Mark Canestero from the New York Post. Mark, are you there?
I'm here, Lori. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. All right, so let's talk about this. For a little while there, it looked like nobody wanted to win this thing. How much of this at Bethpage Black, how much of this was the weather, or how much of this was the nerves? How much of this was the golf course? What was going on there as this battle between Dustin Johnson and and Brooks Koepka was kind of unraveling a little bit on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, Lori, I mean, it was, the golf course is a brutal golf course. I've played about 15 times. I actually played the last round there before they shut it down, for preparations for the tournament. So I have some knowledge of the course, and it's as hard a golf course as there is. Now, that said, Brooks Koepka for 3.5 rounds was tearing the place apart because the guy's got crazy talent. He's long. Now, what happened today is that some wind came in. By the time Koepka teed off about 2:30, the winds were kicking up to about 15, 20 miles an hour, and they were gusting well into the 30s. And it was really blustery out there. So I think it was kind of a combo platter of the weather and the wind. And as much as Koepka claims to keep his cool and have, he told us yesterday that, he doesn't know what his resting heart rate is, but he figures when he's in the throes of competition, whether it's the first tee at a major or the 18th hole, he claimed last night that he figures his resting heart rate will be the same then as it would be lying on the couch watching TV. I would dispute that this afternoon for the last hour and a half of that round, because it was pretty clear he lost his composure a little bit. Had that run of bogeys, had 4 straight bogeys, mm-hmm. and Dustin Johnson was kind of hanging in there, playing really good golf, and all of a sudden, a 7-shot lead, which nobody had ever lost in PGA Tour or major championship history through 54 holes, was down to one shot. And you could kind of tell by the look on Koepka's face, he was, later on he said he wasn't nervous, he said he was in shock. Well, to me, it's kind of, they're one and the same, aren't they, to some degree?
Yeah, watching him on TV after the round, walking off the course, there must have been about 4 times at least that he exhaled and
absolutely
puffed,
yep,
out his cheeks and exhaled a few times. So for somebody who wasn't nervous at all, it shouldn't be that hard to breathe.
So
it would be, but it's human nature, and I can't fault the guy. Big picture, 4 majors. He's got 4 titles now in the last 8 majors. He's won in half of them. You look at it and say, because he's not a Phil Mickelson, he's not a flashy guy, he's not even, he gave you a fist pump at the very end when he won the tournament, but otherwise, he is almost like a robot out there. Have we been not paying as much attention to how great this player is because of his nature?
I think that's a part of it. I mean, he's not a charismatic figure. He's not a guy that's winning the press conference with humor or whatever it may be. He's just not, he doesn't portray himself as a very compelling guy. So I think that's what happens there. Tiger's a completely different animal, no pun intended. I mean, he just generates the buzz in the sport. But you have other guys, a young guy. Ricky Fowler, for example, is kind of the, and I hate to say it because I like Ricky, but Ricky's really the opposite of Fowler. Of Koepka, in that everybody loves him. He's a brilliant marketing guy, but he's never won a major. He's only won a handful of tournaments in his career, but everybody loves Ricky, but nobody really loves Koepka. So it's a really weird dynamic, and I think it does come from his personality. He's very, very flatline, and he admits so. I think at this point now, though, Lori, with what he did this week and the numbers you just said a minute ago, I mean, you 4 major championships and 8 tries, those are Tiger numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to compare him to Tiger, because Tiger did it over a sustained period of time.
Yep.
But those right now, I mean, there's nobody that's close to him in terms of the best player in the world right now. And he did take over the #1 ranking in the world rankings today with the win. But I think that kind of dominance and that kind of excellence he's shown, it's got to draw more attention to him, without question. You know, in a weird way, if I could just interrupt quickly, he kind of plays it both ways. He plays both sides of the fence. He motivates himself because nobody wants to talk to him, and he doesn't get any attention. He doesn't get the credit, so he's playing that side. But at the other side, I don't want to say he's uncooperative with the media, because that's not the case at all. But he really doesn't give much, you know. It's kind of a double-edged sword, and he plays at both ends of it.
Yeah. Now the flip side is the guy who, also an interesting stat there, is Dustin Johnson is the bridesmaid. So he just keeps coming in second in majors. And, he's the runner-up guy. Now, it seemed, at least, again, on TV, that the crowd was very pro-Dustin Johnson. A lot of DJ chants out there. Was Dustin Johnson himself kind of surprised or taken aback by that level of support from New Yorkers?
I think he was a little bit, but I will say this. I think that the reason for that, not taking anything away from Dustin, and listen, people were cheering for Koepka a lot too, but Koepka had put this golf tournament to sleep on Friday, Lori. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just blew everybody away, and we kind of left a weekend that we felt was going to be pretty anticlimactic. You know, it turned out to be kind of interesting on the back nine today. But I think my read on the way the fans were reacting today was they wanted drama. You know, they wanted it to come down to 18, and the only way that was going to happen is if DJ kept making birdies. And, you know, there were some people that were rooting against Koepka. I mean, outwardly, Harold Varner III, I'm sorry, who was playing with Koepka in the final group, was really ticked off afterwards talking about it. You know, he said people were calling out, from the gallery, yelling for Koepka to choke when he was on 14. Which is a little par three that he blew his shot over the green on. And that kind of ticked off Varner. But I think that was more about people wanting just to be some drama to the final round. I don't think it was about people not liking Koepka or liking Dustin Johnson more. Does that make any sense? I mean, they were kind of cheering for everybody, but I think the bottom line was they just wanted some drama. And, I walked around that golf course yesterday, and, I mean, it was, there was no Tiger, so automatically that takes some air out of the butt, the butt balloon. It was just no buzz out there yesterday. I mean, here's Bethpage Black, and we've been in the anticipation of this, weekend in a major, and it just was dead. Today was a little more buzz just because, Koepka was, potentially going to shatter records if he kept moving the way he was moving, and then as it turned out, it got really electric on the back nine, because he kind of, when he started faltering, and DJ was hanging in there. So, it was a very dynamic afternoon for about an hour and a half today.
All right. We usually expect a lot of drama out of majors, and this one, as you said, it had a really interesting 45 minutes. All right, I said we would talk to you about golf, but I also said we'd talk to you a little about the New York Jets, who have been a story for different reasons over the past week or so. Now, it's so Jets to do things the way that things are going, but are you surprised at the timing of firing the general manager? If they were going to fire him now, would it have not made more sense to have fired him and the head coach together and put head coach and GM on synced up together?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm stunned. And the timing is ridiculous, in my opinion. And I agree with you. If Chris Johnson was going to make a move, he should have made that move and just cut bait completely. I think this shows a significant weakness in Jet ownership on the part of Chris. And I'm a Chris fan. I like Chris personally. I think he's a genuine, humble guy who cares about people, and he does want to win. But he's a neophyte as an NFL owner and running a team. And this really showed. I mean, this really did show. I don't know Adam Gase that well. I don't know him at all, actually. I've just been in press conferences with him. I've talked to people that know him, that covered him in Miami, and they swear by him, and they think he's a really good coach. I thought it was a good hire because I thought he was going to energize. A franchise has been dead, really, frankly, just dead team walking under Bowles, for that stretch of time. I just didn't think Bowles was a leader of men, and I think that Gase can be. But it's clear that Gase pulled this power play. He didn't like the dynamic and the way he meshed with McCagden. And, you know, obviously he won over Chris Johnson. And I don't think that's very healthy. And I don't think that McCagden did a bad enough job that he should have been fired. I mean, the guy, you know, they got the quarterback. And, you know, people want to say, oh, well, the quarterback fell to the Jets. Well, I get it. The Giants, didn't pick him at 2.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jets had to get up to 3. And they orchestrated that move,
yep.
You know, because of McCagden and his assistant, Brian Heimerdinger, who was really the one that executed that trade. And he also, of course, got fired. So I think this showed a weakness in Jet ownership. And what's the most amazing thing to me is this team is so uber sensitive about how it's, you know, all that stretch where it was perceived as kind of a clown show, mm-hmm. with Rex there and all the
yep.
other ridiculousness that went on. And finally, they distanced themselves from that. It was the Giants actually who were getting crushed
yep.
for all the bad moves and the stuff. And now the Jets, in one fell swoop, have now like put themselves front and center as the idiots in the room, you know. It's amazing to me.
So let me throw something out there to you. Is in no way can I defend the process and the timing and the way all of this has gone about. And I agree with everything you just said. But I will say this for Christopher Johnson and the Jets is, process aside, terrible, bad optics, horrible timing, not right. However, now let's fast forward and say we find ourselves in a few months, middle of next season, whatever it is, or in a few weeks or whatever, and the Jets potentially have in place Sam Darnold, young quarterback, Adam Gase, young coach who was the fair-haired wunderkind offensive mind just a few years ago to develop Sam Darnold, the quarterback. And hypothetically, let's say they go out and get somebody like, one of the rumors is Joe Douglas, a personnel guy highly thought of in the league with the Eagles right now. And the Eagles
yeah.
are a forward-thinking team, analytically driven, and Joe Douglas is their head scout. So a scout, good eye on that. Let's say he works out and becomes the GM. Could the Jets, with all the everybody saying dysfunction, dumpster fire, craziness, they don't know what they're doing, could the Jets end up, can we look back in a year or so and say, wow, Jets have the GM, coach, and quarterback all in place?
Well, we might say that. We might say that. You know, obviously this guy is a Gase guy, so, you know, that's why all the rumors are, you know, that he's going to be the guy to come in. I guess where I'm a little concerned, Lori, is I feel like Gase is acquiring too much power too quickly. Does that make any sense? My argument when,
yep.
when they hired him initially was, what did this guy do in Miami exactly? Win 8 games one or two times? I mean, you know, what did he do? I mean, did he develop Ryan Tannehill? I don't think so. I don't know what he did that warranted the Jets, you know, running out and hiring him. Now, I wasn't crazy with the hire when he was initially hired. And then when I spoke to a couple of my guys down in Miami, they spoke highly of him. I said, okay, well, you know, let's give him a chance, as we all should. But now he's got the whole organization. I mean, he's going to bring his own GM in, so he might as well be the GM himself, right? And if you remember, I'm not saying the Jets should have hired McCarthy, the tactical, you know, coach, but that was supposedly the issue several months back as to why they didn't want him in, because he wanted too much power. He wanted
mm-hmm.
to be the GM and a
yeah.
coach. And now all of a sudden we're right back to where that started.
Well,
so I think it's a little unhealthy, potentially, that Gase has this much power.
We'll see if he turns into Chip Kelly 2.0, and I mean that in a bad way. always appreciate the time, Mark. Catch up with you soon.
Be well, Lori. Thanks.